It's time for Trackside Tonight with Randy Dye, Joe Linebarrier, and Billy Osberg. Trackside Tonight is brought to you by Daytona Dodge and Chrysler, DeLand Motorsports, Mopar Speed Shop, Volusia Speedway Park, and by Valvoline. To get in on the action, call 239-0033, star 1150, or toll free at 1-800-927-0033. Now, here's Randy, Joe, and Billy.
Well, good evening, everybody, and welcome to Trackside Tonight. I'm Randy Dye. Joe's out sick tonight. He spent several days at the Volusia Speedway Park, and I think between how hard he worked and a little bug that was floating around out there, he's out tonight. And I know that Billy is on his way in here, just running a little bit late with the extra traffic that's going on out there. But we certainly welcome you to our program. It's good to be back with you. We were off last week because of the MRN stuff that was in town and the special program they did last Monday night from 7 to 9 o'clock. But we're certainly glad to be back here with Trackside tonight. We've got a great program lined up for you tonight. Probably in about 10 minutes or so, we're going to get a hold of David Rogers, the World Series of Asphalt winner, also the winner of the Pete Orr Memorial 100-lap race that culminated Speed Week's culminated the World Series of Asphalt at New Smyrna Speedway this past Saturday night. And a little bit later, we've got Ted Christopher, the New England Modified driver extraordinaire. We'll talk to him a little bit about running with Ryan Newman out there at New Smyrna Speedway. Also, he was the winner of the Richie Evans Memorial this past Saturday night. I think Billy's got, Daryl Lanigan lined up for a little bit later. He is the 2008 World of Outlaws champion. So we've got a lot of good people to talk with you tonight. We're going to do some interviews with them. Certainly in between, we'd be happy to take your phone calls. And as always, talk about whatever's on your mind racing. We've got an awful lot to cover, and certainly there's no way I think we're going to be able to do it in one night's program. We'll probably get through some of it tonight and end up talking about it again next week and as we go on. But we're glad to be back with you. Billy, I'm glad you're here.
Yeah, I was running a little late. I apologize. I got a late start from home, but I made it in just in time. I figured, I didn't know if they was running the news or not. But when I walked in, heard you talking, I said, "Oh, I'm tardy."
No, we're all right. We're doing good. I think by all accounts, you can certainly speak to the Volusia Speedway Park results. Good speed weeks or good winter nationals as it is for Volusia Speedway Park.
It's probably one of the best winter nationals I've been a part of. I've been a part of probably about 12 to 14 of them, I guess. I mean, really hadn't really counted, but I think this year was probably one of the best I've ever been a part of. The show was really great. Got done at a reasonable time every night, 12 straight nights. I think the latest we got done was 11:30. Saw great racing, saw a lot of race cars. Record nights the first night, Tuesday night when we started, the original night. 80 modifies the first night, which is a opening night record. 46 sprint cars and... this year they allowed all the World of Outlaw contestants to run with the All-Star Circuit of Champions, which made it good. When it was bad for everybody because Donnie Schatz won 4 to 6 nights, but him and Jared Landers really stunk the place up the first week when Landers would win, Schatz would win, so that tells you what kind of week it was for them guys. But really big Winter Nationals or Dirt Car Nationals at the Volusia Speedway Park, and really glad to be a part of it. And, I mean, for it to be over Saturday, I mean, everybody said, "Are you glad it's over?" To be honest with you, I could have took Sunday off and started again tonight and probably went another 30. But all in all, really great program.
I think from the economy of it all, it looked to me, the couple times that I was out there, plenty of people in the grandstand. It could always put more, but it was by no means a disaster from a fan standpoint. Certainly the number of race cars was up. I know you had a good, fair amount of sponsor participation. So all in all, you put on the right program, people are still going to come.
Well, the first two nights, the Tuesday, Wednesday, the first two nights with the All-Star Circuit of Champions, is always a bad night. The first two nights are always never that good for the spectator standpoint. But, you get through those 2 days and you get to the weekend when the World of Outlaw Sprint Cars run and it makes up for the first 2 days. But, when the late models come in on Monday, which is a week later, I think this year, Randy, this was the best late model Monday night crowd I've seen. And I'm talking about Monday, Tuesday was good. The big block started on Wednesday, and I'm talking about the only seats empty in the aluminum grandstands was four rows from the bottom. That was it. All the aluminum grandstand was full from Tuesday through till Saturday. So, yeah, you're right. You know, you look at the economy. You know, you talk to a couple of the vendors. I talked to a few of the vendors down Vendor Row, and, of course, it wasn't too good for them. But, you know, let's face it. You go there to watch the race, and you can pick up your souvenirs later. You know, you're looking at $39 or $35, whatever it is, to get in. Most people say, hey, I got about $50 I could spend. By the time you spend that and get yourself something to eat, I mean, but don't get me wrong, you saw the same faces over and over. People enjoy it. You will pay that. And I think what kept a lot of things going was the decent time. You know, you're talking about getting done, watching, you watch 70 late models run and you watch 40 big blocks run and you're done 10:30. You know, that makes you want to come back the next day.
There's no doubt that getting that program over at a reasonable time will get you coming back. It's that 1 o'clock, you know, 1:30, or even for that matter, getting over at a time when in 45 minutes of the program was wasted. You know, that's the stuff that keeps people away.
Right.
I've said time and time again on our program how efficient you guys are out there. You know, you're efficient running a regular program, but the efficiency was remarkable with as big a program as you had during the Dirt Car Nationals. So, you know, I'm glad. I think it's a great start to the dirt track racing season here in Volusia County. I know that they did well over across the state, and by all counts so far, the local, quote-unquote, local racing programs did well.
Right.
You know, I know that in talking with the folks out at New Smyrna Speedway, they had lots of race cars, an awful lot of race cars, and the crowds did about what they expected in terms of historical numbers. You know, it starts out a little light, it builds up, get a lot of people out there. I was out a couple nights, and, you know, I remember racing and looking up there and going, wow, this is the way it ought to be,
yeah.
You know. And this time I was on the other side of the grandstand and looking down and going, this is the way it ought to be,
yeah.
You know. And it's good. It's good when those things happen. It gives the both the local tracks a jump start on their regular season and kind of injects some enthusiasm and some optimism for a good racing season. And I think, all in all,
I think it answered a lot of questions.
I think it did, too.
And I think, yes, they answered a lot of questions, too, when everybody was asking about the economy. I mean, they announced on TV yesterday that the Daytona 500 did sell out yesterday morning. I mean, do we believe it, or did they just make that announcement?
Well, No. I believe that the Daytona 500 sold out. I mean, I think when we get to the end of the program, we'll talk a little bit more about that, you know, about Daytona and so on. But you know, I've got some thoughts about the Daytona thing, and you can't argue. If you looked out there at the crowd, it was full.
Yeah,
there was a lot of people there.
I think a lot of Northerners got out the snow too.
Well, you know, part of the deal,
hit Daytona for $50.
Yeah, there we go. You know, part of the deal is the price started to get, you know, started to get affordable again. And, you know, that's important. I think we probably just need to save it for a little bit later in the program, because I don't want to get into this in fragments. But
you know, one thing, I don't know if you said it before we got started, but one thing I want to say was being at the Snowball Derby the last 4 years, I'm going to miss Matt Hawkins. I mean, he lost his life on Friday, and what an accidental gun deal, and that's something that, you know, I don't know, we don't know any details about. But Matt Hawkins, 22 years old, a great racer, man. I'm gonna miss this guy. He was a great racer at watching him at the Snowball Derby and stuff like that. But that's a sad thing.
Yeah, that's a shame. And we certainly offer our prayers and condolences to his family, and you know, keep those people in your thoughts and prayers. I believe we have the guy who has found the fountain of youth.
Rejuvenated.
Man.
Started in December.
Holy cow. I called him up earlier today, and I asked him if he'd be a guest on our program, and I said, David, congratulations. You've got one going on for the senior citizens. I'm your biggest fan right now. But with us on Trackside tonight is the World Series of Asphalt champion, the Pete Orr Memorial 100 champion, David Rogers.
Hey, guys. How are you doing? I wish... you know, I could put a sponsor deal together here, you know, like Geritol or something like that.
Metamucil.
Anything for the old folks. AARP.
Yeah, man.
Know, anything might help.
You know, David, we were talking about, you know, earlier this afternoon when we were lining this interview up with you, and I guess, and please don't be offended by this, but I'd have to say, on one hand, your performance this past World Series of Asphalt is it's a bit of a surprise, I think, to most people. Maybe not to David Rogers, but to a lot of people, given the last couple years.
Hold on.
Okay.
Let's back up one second.
All right. See, Billy's going to argue with me. That's his job.
Okay. No, listen. Let's go before last week. Let's go to the Snowball Derby.
Well, I made that comment. I said, oh, this started back at the Snowball Derby.
Let's go to the Snowball Derby. When he finished, fifth? Sixth? Where'd you end up, David? Fifth or sixth?
At the Snowball.
We ended up sixth.
But you ended up fifth when it was all said and done.
Yeah, and then after the inspections, we ended up fifth.
Okay, so David, you know, I mean, I guess, and again, don't take offense to my comments, but what in the world has happened? I don't think you finished worse than third all during the World Series of Asphalt. Is that correct?
Well, first of all, I've been racing for like 35 years, so nothing you guys say is going to offend me.
Okay, that's good.
You know, I've been ups and downs, and you know, good fans and bad fans. You know, you hear lots of things and different names that you have or whatever, and so you're not going to offend me. Just say what you feel and the truth. Sometimes the truth bothers you a little bit, but you have to go on to the next race, so to speak. But you know, I've always had the heart to race, and that's what I race for, is because I love it. I think this Snowball Derby, this Speed Week, just kind of proves stuff that I've said all along. You know, real racers and people that love racing, you got to keep trying. You know, the sun don't shine on the same dog's butt all the time, so to speak. And you know, I didn't go to Bob Bondurant or, you know, if Duke was still in business. I didn't go to Duke Southern's driving school over the, you know, last 3 months and learn how to drive a race car. It's just the combination of what Dana Ebersole put together for a race car and myself, you know, my driving style. I'm not saying that, you know, somebody else could, you know, Jeff Chiquette could get in this car and be a lot faster than me. Maybe he could, but he might not be as fast. He might go, how does he drive that piece of crap, you know? But the car, the combination just works so good, you know? And the first time I ever raced this car, I told everybody, gosh, if I can learn how to drive it, this car will be fast. And that's how it ended up.
Well, it's really, if you don't mind, David, how old are you?
I'm 53.
Okay, 53 years old, and you raced, and I think if you look down that field of guys you competed against, you could be the father of several of them, without a doubt.
Grandfather to a couple.
And probably the grandfather to a couple, and you would have to agree with me. Now, you wouldn't have been the odds-on favorite going into this last 9 days.
Well, it was obvious I wasn't. You know, I mean, with a lot of the stuff that's been going on over in time, you know, and I think a lot of people have written David Rogers off. Well, he's too old, or you know,
well, I never did
whatever
that.
The case
yeah.
may be. Yeah. You know, maybe you should have retired or whatever. You know, I have to admit. There's times that I look at it and go, maybe I should just quit doing this, you know. But then I look at it and go, well, what would I do next Saturday? You know, I don't want to go fishing. I don't want to play golf. I don't want to stay at home and water the plants and trim the hedges and stuff. I love racing. So, you know, when I think about, you know, retiring or stopping racing or whatever, I think of those things. And not that I want to run last, because my head and my heart don't think that way. You know, when I go to the racetrack, I want to win the races. Granted, just like everybody thought this Speed Week, you know, when you go to the racetrack this speed weeks, David Rogers wasn't the guy to beat. You know, there's times that I've been the guy to beat. But this speed weeks, probably I was, well, obviously I wasn't. You know, just like you guys just said, Speed 51, Dillner, you know, they had a big long list of people that could be great this speed weeks, and I obviously wasn't listed, you know. But, we proved them wrong, you know.
Well, David, you know, let's, first off, am I right? You didn't finish worse than third in any night out there.
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
And you won three times, is that correct?
We won twice.
Won twice, and the biggest win of the whole week was the Pete Orr Memorial 100 on Saturday night, which, if I did my math right, the whole World Series of Asphalt Points Championship was whichever guy finished ahead of the other one between you and Choquette was going to win that championship. Is that correct?
Yeah, we were tied up the last night. It was just like the first night.
And you won by, I think he finished, I think he even finished outside the top 10 Saturday night. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, he fell out. I think somebody said an A-frame came loose and rubbed a hole in the line or something, and he ended up not finishing the race.
Okay, so you win the World Series of Asphalt at 53 years old. I'd have to say that in terms of the super late models, that's got to be the oldest guy on record to have done so. You win the Pete Orr Memorial. Let's box it in and put it in the Pete Orr Memorial context. How big a deal is it to win that race?
You know, it's a big deal for me because the Pete Orr race, Pete and I were friends. You know, we were competitors, and we had our times that we didn't speak to each other and didn't like each other, but I think that's part of being competitors and loving what you do and thinking everything you do is right and everything the other guy does is wrong. You know, Pete and I were friends, but I don't know exactly how old Pete was, but I look back and go, you know, the sad part about it is I'm still here being able to do this, and Pete's not, you know. Pete had other things to do, you know. So, you know, those things kind of made me emotional. You know, you look at it and, you know, there's no guarantees. You know, you were just talking about a guy that earlier on that, you know, there's no guarantees, you know, what happens to you. And for me to be 53 working real close, April's my birthday, so I'm real close to 54, you know, and it just there's no guarantees about this stuff, racing or anything else. So, you know, it just puts it in real life to you. Perspective is what it is.
We were talking about Matt Hawkins when we were calling you, and he lost his life Friday night. Talk about some of your experiences with him. I don't want to change the subject, but I was, you know, I know Randy knows who he is, but explain to the people about this young guy. He was 22 years old. I know that he finished third at the Snowball Derby this year too. So, it's somebody you raced against. He was a great young kid.
Yeah, it was. You know, and there's so many out there like that. And, you know, I didn't know Matt personally. You know, I raced against him like at the Derby and a few places like that. But, you know, it's kind of hard for a guy like Matt, or there's so many out there now that are young that, you know, obviously we don't have the same interests as far as is anything other than racing, so it's not like we can be buddies. You know, you don't, right. A 22-year-old guy don't want to be buddies with his dad or his granddad. You know, I want to go with my friends. So that kind of separates the racers a little bit now when you go to the racetrack. But, you know, obviously the guy had extreme amount of talent, you know, and that's what I'm saying, you know. No matter how good you are or what your goals seem to be or whatever, there's no promises about tomorrow, you know. You better do what you can today because tomorrow might not be there.
Right. Well, let's talk a little bit about tomorrow in maybe a bigger context than just the next 24 hours. You know, you've really accomplished an awful lot in the last few months, and I would say I would take it back to the Governor's Cup. Had you not had a mechanical issue there, I think, you know, you were well on your way to having some success there. What's the 2009 racing season past the World Series of Asphalt look for you and your guys?
Well, you know, from what I understand, and looks like New Smyrna and maybe even Speed World are going to have a little more racing going on for the super late models. I hope they do. My personal opinion is all these traveling series and everything that's been going on in Central Florida and all over the country actually has really, really depleted the short track racing as I see it. And I know things change and things go forward and you can't just be stuck in your groove, but reality is if you can go to a racetrack on Saturday night or Friday night and race, and that's what you can afford to do, that's what made short track racing what it is. When you start traveling series and you start going here and going there and taking off, you know, Friday, you got to take off Friday at noon or Friday morning to go to a racetrack to practice Friday night to race Saturday, the expense gets overwhelming for most people. It gets overwhelming for me. I've got a business. I race because I love racing. I do it for a hobby. If I can leave, I own my own business, I can leave on Friday morning. But I can't go by myself, so that means I either got to have people on the payroll or the guys that help me have to take off a day of work or an afternoon of work. Then you got to drive a distance, spend the night, you know, practice your race car, spend money, gas, tires, whatever, eat dinner, get a motel, get up the next morning, eat breakfast, go to the racetrack. You know, it's money, money, money. And that ain't what short track's supposed to be to me. You know, it's supposed to be the guy that leaves home on Friday late afternoon and goes and runs a Friday night show, or leaves Saturday afternoon and goes runs a Saturday night show and goes back home with his two buddies or whatever being his pit crew.
Yeah,
and that's what I see happening.
Well, you know, David, you know, it's this year. It seems like this is the year of the merger. So maybe you know, that old guy, you being close to 54, and I'll be 49 in May. Maybe we can do a little merge, and you know, you can drive one of my late models once in a while, and or teach, you know, have one old guy teach another old guy a few new tricks. Because I'd sure like to get some of what you got, buddy.
Well, you know, it's heart, and it's loving it and doing it, you know, and like I said, I've been doing this stuff for, 35 years, and I've loved it the whole time.
Yeah.
And the sacrifices that I've made, you know, it makes me just laugh and giggle, actually, when I hear Jeff Gordon and people that are making millions of dollars a year, and they go, well, you know, we run too many races and we got too many appearances to make. You know, I never went to a high school dance. I didn't go to my senior prom because I was racing. You know, in all of time, I miss a lot of weddings, good friends' weddings, and because they're always on a Saturday.
Yeah.
Saturdays don't exist in my world other than racing.
Yeah.
And you give up so much, but I don't feel I'm giving it up. I feel that I'm doing what I love to do, so that's where it ends up.
So I think back to that question. You plan to race hopefully the racetracks are going to do what we all hear that they're going to do, and that's to try to re-energize the weekly racing program, and you're going to be a part of that. That's your plans for 2009, and I would suspect some selected special races here and there.
Exactly, you know, and that's what we plan on doing. That's, you know, my fans and my little bit of sponsors that we have, they're local sponsors. They're not national people. They don't care if I go to, you know, to Georgia and race. It does them no good. So, you know, that's what I'm looking to do. I'm looking to run, you know, this some of the Speed World races and the New Smyrna races. And then, yeah, we may travel to Pensacola and run a couple of those races to try to get in tune, because I'd really love to win the Derby. You know, last year I think was my 25th start, but I've been up there way more times than that. Just, you know, several times I just didn't make it. I wasn't good enough to make the race.
Yep. Well, David, we you know, I can't express my congratulations enough and my enthusiasm. I mean, you remember way back when I first started and I asked to see if I could follow you around the racetrack. And, you know, you were kind enough to do that with me and help me learn a little bit. You probably tried to teach me more than I was willing to learn, and I appreciate, and I've been a David Rogers fan before I started racing, and I'm a David Rogers fan today, and I really appreciate you taking the time to be with us tonight.
Well, I appreciate that, and you know, I try to help anybody that's racing. You know, if people come by and they say, well, how much would you charge me to do this? You know, I've never really charged. I took Ricky Carmichael to the racetrack the first time he had us ever in a stock car, and took him around and let him drive a stock car. I didn't charge the guy a dime.
Yeah.
The guy had tons of money, and, you know, he stepped on me and went on down the road, which was fine because I knew that was happening. But I love racing enough that, you know, especially these young kids, I'll help them whatever I can do. You know, yeah, I've got a life and I've got a job, so I can't just take off work and go test with them every day. But I don't charge people to do that because I love racing. And people like you that want to get involved in it and want to try to do better, that's what I want you to do. I want to help you because I know when I started racing, a lot of the guys back, because it was in the age of, they would steer you wrong. They would tell you stuff to realistically to get you hurt if they, you know, they didn't think of it that way, but they wanted you to crash.
Yeah.
Because they didn't want you to be a competitor. I'm not that way. I want you to get as good as you can get, and I want to beat you at your best. You know, I want you to buy whatever you can afford to buy. That's why I've never looked at people that could spend more money than me, that had more sponsorships or whatever. That's fine. You know, just beat me at my own game, and I'm good with that. And that's what I mean with you following me around the racetrack. Anybody can follow me around the racetrack. I'll try to help you get around the racetrack as good as I can do. And I'll never lie to you. I may not tell you. I'm telling you what I feel, and what I feel don't necessarily mean it's the gospel, but it's the way I do it.
Well, I will say that when I had to try to first follow you around the racetrack, you had to slow down a little bit so I could keep up. But I appreciate that, and again, I appreciate your time tonight. And, man, I hope you have a great 2009, David.
Well, I appreciate it, and a lot of them followed us around. Maybe they were just learning.
Well, I will say this. You definitely took them to school, partner. Okay. Have a good night, David.
Okay,
thanks.
Man. Thanks for calling, guys.
All right, we'll see you.
Yeah, bye.
You know, I don't care what you say. That's a remarkable story. At 53 years old, to go out and win the World Series of Asphalt, finish no worse than third on any given night, win the 100-lap Pete Orr Memorial on the last night, is just a remarkable feat, no matter what the situation is. And if you compare his stuff, you know, his budget to some of the other budgets that were out there, it's significantly less. And he has a tremendous amount of experience, and I don't think anybody can argue that point. But still, to get it done, to have the drive to get it done, no pun intended, to have the enthusiasm for it, and to be able to put it all together, stay out of trouble, not have a mechanical failure. You know, mechanical failures don't, you know, not having them isn't lucky. It's work. It's every time you get done racing, you go back and you look at the car, you maintain the car, you take stuff apart, you clean it back up, you put it back together. You know, this isn't easy stuff to do. And for him to have the kind of World Series of Asphalt, be the 43rd annual World Series of Asphalt champion and the Pete Orr Memorial champion. I mean, the momentum he's got going into the 2009 series is going to be pretty tough.
You know, you sit back and you look at the last 5 years the guy's had, and you've seen him at his worst. I mean, we talk about the wreck at Orlando Speed World that a lot of people thought would end the career of David Rogers, but David Rogers got back in the car. I was at New Smyrna. A little bit after that happened, he was back in the car, and again, he's in the wall in turns 3 and 4, and it happened right in front of me, and he was out. And I said to myself, standing there against the fence that night, I wish he'd retire, because I don't want to see anybody get hurt. But you know what? To see him go through what he's going through right now, you know, David Rogers, when we was racing asphalt, he's a lot of people's hero. I mean, everybody is the same way. You either like somebody or you don't. In this situation, I don't see how anybody could not like this guy.
Well, he's a lot like, I mean, in terms of, somebody else that drives is probably more well-known, Mark Martin. David Rogers drives a lot like Mark Martin. He just doesn't run into anybody. He drives it clean and gets it done. And you know, so it's hard to have to be anti David Rogers unless you happen to be the guy trying to chase him.
When we were racing asphalt, he was always a hero of mine, and I'd go sit down and talk to him. And David Rogers is a great guy. I'm glad he's having great success right now.
Well, you know, one of the other heroes of the modified racing, certainly to those people in New England and anybody that follows, you know, the real bone crushing modifieds of this country, you got to count Ted Christopher as one of them. And you talk about a guy that had a phenomenal World Series of Asphalt. Again, we've got him on the line. Teddy, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
I've been watching you for years, as a lot of folks have. I don't know. That's not to say that you're old. It just says I'm old, okay? So we'll clarify that right now. You know, you had a really successful week. I watched you earlier in the week battle back and forth with Ryan Newman. I don't know if it was fun for you, but it was fun for me to watch. So tell us about that.
Oh, yeah, that was real fun. You know, when you can race wheel-to-wheel with somebody like him with his caliber of driving, you know, a cup guy like that, and it's not as bad when you finish second to somebody like that.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, you're not a stranger to the cup world either, though. How many NASCAR Cup Series events have you started, do you know?
I think kind of like six.
Yeah,
something like that. You know, most of them were like, you know, get the car qualified for guys, because they knew that I'm pretty successful at New Hampshire, you know, with a Busch
right.
car or a modified. So a lot of the people I was happy enough where they, you know, they asked me to try to qualify their cars up there, and I was successful enough to qualify their cars. And actually one time I did a deal with the team, the Mystique team I drove for many years. Our car owner was good enough that we bought our own cup car, you know, and rented motors from Petty and actually qualified the car on our own up there and had a really, really good run going there until we got off excursion on the last lap.
Mm.
But, it was, you know, they paid me pretty good money to do that stuff, so it was worth qualifying the car for the guys in New Hampshire.
Well, tell us about the, I have talked to, I don't know, 100 people anyway, and they have various descriptions of this race Saturday night, but one thing that they all agree on, the best modified, New England-style modified, tour-top modified race they've ever seen in their life.
I know. You know, I mean, not to correct you, but it was Friday night.
Or Friday night. I'm sorry. Yeah, that's right.
I couldn't believe how many, if I had a dollar for every person that came up to me and said stuff like that, you know, on Saturday after the race, or Friday after, and then Saturday the next day, man, I would have paid for my trip going down there. But, you know, I didn't get to see it yet. You know, I got it on tape, and I haven't watched it yet, but that's the only unfortunate part of people. You know, I've had a lot of people say that. It's like, you know, you put on a good race and everything, but I don't get to see it because I'm in the cockpit, you know. But, yeah, there are a lot of people that really, really complimented me on that race, you know. And to also compliment Ronnie Silk, because, you know, we wouldn't have been able to do it if both of us didn't have respect for each other that way.
Well, that's the point. For as many laps as you guys traded the lead, and you guys traded the lead several times, I mean, you know, one end of the racetrack for the other.
And it was pretty wild that way, yeah, I know.
And still be able to finish, and both guys finish the race. I mean, you know, that's one of the things that can go on sometimes for three or four laps, but usually what follows that is a yellow flag, and the two guys that were doing that end up being the cause of the yellow flag. And you guys did that all night long, and that didn't happen.
No. It was just a great race, and it ended, you know, for me, luckily, you know, it ended with me winning. You know, either way, both of us, I'm sure, would have enjoyed the race that way, you know, be it if he won or if I won, you know, and luckily that I won. But, you know, I've driven for the hills before, too, and been successful with those guys. I really haven't run many races with them. And the first time I ever drove for David at Caraway in North Carolina, I ended up winning, and we've won, you know, a couple other races together. So, you know, they're some really, really, really nice people. And I would never, you know, wreck David's car like that, you know, being stupid on the racetrack. You know, I have a lot of respect for him as a car owner. You know, his father's really, really nice. And Ronnie's a real good guy, too, because I know him through Randy LaJoy. That's his godson. So,
well,
a lot of history between all of us.
Tell me, do you think, the New Smyrna Speedway's pavement is about, what, I think 2 years old, 3 years old now since it's been redone.
Yeah, I think this is the third year.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's, starting to mature a little bit. And I'm a race car driver, too, and when I got hurt and wasn't able to race anymore for a while, it was just before they repaved the racetrack. And I don't believe that the old racetrack, and I mean at the end of the days of the old racetrack, that you guys would have been able to do what you did the other night.
Oh, I was really surprised, too. You know, the thing really rubbered up a real lot. You know, there was a lot of rubber. And when I first got there, I talked to David Rogers, and I said, man, it looks like it's really got, like, a really, really bottom, and it has, like, you know, a really, really top. And he said the cup guys have been testing there, and they've actually, like, worn out the middle. And, you know, I started to find some different lanes to drive, and that's what I'd have to say, that's one good aspect of, like, driving skills, is where I don't try to, like, follow people. You know, all the years I've raced up here in New England, having to start, you know, 12th to 15th because of handicap, and you always have to find a way to get by people. And that place just really produced some different grooves for me, you know, in the way my car worked, and it was cool racing there this year.
Well, you know, it reminded me a lot. The New Smyrna Speedway has traditionally been, you know, a one groove racetrack. You could get up in there on the outside on occasion if you were really, really gutsy.
On a restart,
there you go.
Lucky, you know, stuff like that.
Right.
Yeah.
But this time, it's almost a little bit more like a dirt track where there was a couple different grooves. And, I just believe that you guys show, in addition to the obvious skill that you both have, but the racetrack allowed you to be able to find different places to race, which made it extremely exciting for everybody.
Yeah, that's what's so nice. You know, I mean, I hate the follow the leader type of stuff, just as anybody else that watches it or things like that, and the people in the stand. And that place, it really, like I said, it really, really produced some neat grooves. And I mean, sometimes I was sailing that thing into turn three. I could have sworn I was like in the third groove, you know, way up high and stuff. But
it looked like it.
It stuck, you know, and it worked, and it was like really, really cool in the driver's department. It's really fun when you have a track where you can take different type of lanes. And, you know, fortunate enough for us to produce that type of racing that we had on that night.
Well, Teddy, obviously a lot of success down here during the World Series of Asphalt. What about, you know, the rest of 2009? What's on the agenda for you and your guys, and what are you going to do this year?
I'm actually going to test Bristol, which I'm really looking forward to that, because I just, like New Smyrna, I love high-speed tracks, and I've always loved New Smyrna. And, you know, Bristol's going to be a really, hopefully, a good test for us there, and our cars hopefully will work good at that track. And I think, you know, that place will almost be like, maybe like New Smyrna, where you're going to have maybe two or three grooves. Because I said, if they can have two grooves with a cup car, you obviously can have two grooves with a modified on a track like that. So we're going to go test there on the 24th of next week. And then I go to Providence, Rhode Island, and race my three-quarter midget again, which I was, you know, I won up the Gamblers Classic down in Atlantic City in early January. And then I think I'm going to go to Caraway with David Hill and be a teammate to Ronnie down there. We're going to run both cars. They mentioned about having me do that there. And I might go to Concord for the second Southern Modified race. And then our stuff will start back up here in March, actually April. By then it'll be almost April, so we'll start racing up here.
Well, we certainly appreciate you taking time, and I presume you'll be back again next year for the World Series of Asphalt?
Yeah, I wish I was going there again this week. You know, it's like, you have a track like that that's, you know, so much fun to race on. It's unfortunate last night they the Friday night was so good, and then the Saturday night they sort of come unplugged on that one lap. I think everybody wanted to win on lap one, and, you know, and they wrecked some stuff, but Yeah, I'm looking forward to next year. And Joe wants to go, I think, one more time with Joe. You know, Joe's getting pretty old and stuff, and he's got 9 championships there, and I'm not quite sure how many I have, but Joe wants to try to win 10 championships there before he really retires.
Well, if I'm counting right, too, I think this was the fourth time you've won the Richie Evans Memorial Race. Is that correct?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, 4,000 with that.
And that is the highest number that I could count. I don't see anybody else that's won it that many times.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know. A lot of people, you know, I keep my records at Stafford. I know that stuff. And a lot of people ask me about New Smyrna. And I said, you know, I'd really like to find out how many races I've won there between with my, you know, with an SK and then, you know, a super late model I've won a few times and then with the tour car. And I think I've won a pretty lot of races down in New Smyrna. You know, like I said, I really enjoy going there. I've been going there. I started in 1988, and I have not missed a year yet there.
Wow. Well, that's a great record there and of itself. Hey, really appreciate you joining us, Teddy. Thank you, and I wish you a lot of success in 2009.
All right. Thank you very much for having me on.
Okay, man. Thank you. Bye.
I was going to ask him how many times he won the Richie Evans Memorial.
Four. I did do that. I knew that.
That guy's a good wheel, man.
Yeah. Oh. You should. If you'd have seen, of course, I know you couldn't because you had an obligation.
I heard about the race
between him and Newman. Well, it was phenomenal.
Yeah, I heard
you know,
that.
I mean, it was the same deal. I mean, hard racing, but clean racing.
I would like
to
get a picture of the car that Newman was driving.
I
bet you Jim Jones took some photos.
I'm sure he did. And speaking of Jim Jones took, I don't know if he's still got his thumb and his finger left. He took a zillion pictures during the World Series of Asphalt, and he is his website is on the New Smyrna Speedway website, but it's jimjonesphoto.com. And if you don't see it, you don't get it that way, go to the New Smyrna website, look at the photo gallery. His stuff comes up, and if you want to order pictures, if you want to get special pictures made, if you're one of those fans that says, you know, hey, I'm a fan of such car, Jim Jones can certainly spend a little time and focus on a particular driver that you want and get some pictures made. But go on there and look. He's a great guy, friendly guy. He and Brooke are constantly up and down the speedway. Brooke's always got that little wagon pulling behind and carrying photographs that they've taken, and they're a great team. They're fun to be around. But I know he's got some good stuff from out there this past 9 nights. So
yeah, talking about that, you know, I know that's a thing with Jim Jones, but I mean, we have a really great photographer too at Volusia Speedway Park. It's Dave Shank, and I know he got some great shots too. So when we're trying to sell some photos for Jim Jones, like, do something for Dave Shank.
No question. I mean, you know,
Dave's a listener. He listened to us last week or a couple weeks ago at our last show.
Well, that's how these guys make their living. You know, it's they do good stuff. I tell you the kind of guy Jim Jones is. I called him today and I said, there's a marketing company that wants us to do a show car, and goodness, I think it's up in Clay County. I don't even know where I'm going yet. But they wanted some pictures emailed, and I called Jim. I said, would you email the pictures you took of our race car so that they can get an idea of what they're getting? And he said, yeah, by all means, give me the email address. And he did it, and, you know, no sweat. He's a good guy. They're very, very good people. They don't charge more than what is reasonable. I've never had them charge what I thought was too much. And the quality of stuff is phenomenal. They really do good work. So
I tell you, if you you get a chance to see a photo from Dirt Car Nationals, a guy named Chad Warner from Chad Warner Photography took a shot. The first week, zero sprint car. Styles was the guy's last name. He was flipping down the back straight away. And you get on ChadWarnerPhotography.com, go to photos, it's in the second row, it's a zero car. It looks like it's taken off from the ground. That's how high up it is. It's the guy was flipping, he was over the top of the, he was high up, the nose of the car is over the top of the billboards on the back straight away. I kid you not, it's almost like the 22 car drove right underneath him. So
probably did, yeah.
I got to get this number.
Yeah, well, go ahead. You go do it. Well, we'll be happy to talk to Gene. This is a good time. Billy's trying to raise up another guest there, so. Hey, you got the right time, Gene. How are you?
Pretty good. How about you?
Good.
So, what do you think of the races this weekend?
Well, I think that, you know, I mean, certainly it's a surprise winner. I mean, Matt Kenseth has to be a surprise winner.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, I'm over hearing all about how man, you know, what a terrible way to win the race. He, you know, it's called by rain. And
well, nobody likes that. Even the drivers don't get to it. Something's been going on for years. The drivers don't like it, but a win's a win.
It does. That's right. You know, the guy ran a good race. So, well, he only led that lap. Well, you know what? 2 years ago, Kevin Harvick only led one lap, and it was the last lap. And it was, you know, so I take nothing away from Matt Kenseth. I think he should be congratulated.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm impressed with the fact that he was in the right place, stayed out of, missed a big wreck.
Yeah.
You know, I'll tell you something else that I think, even to me, as much as I'm a Dodge guy, it's a huge deal for the A.J. Allmendinger to finish third, and that's no fluke, by the way. He ran up there all day long.
Yeah, I know he did.
Elliot Sadler to finish fifth. Reed Sorensen.
He showed something. He's been slacking for quite a while, and now he's looking back to when he was competitive.
Reed Sorensen to finish ninth.
Yeah.
And Kurt Busch to finish tenth. The bottom line to that is four Dodges finished in the top ten, and there were only seven in the race.
Yeah, that's
so
a good deal.
I think that's a surprise.
Yeah.
I think, you know, the strategy, and people can argue this because it didn't run 200 laps, but, you know, the Mark Martins and Jeff Gordons and all that, the strategy probably had it been run 200 laps, you know, it might have been, there might have been some different outcome. There's no question Mark Martin had a good race car.
Oh, yeah.
Michael Waltrip had a good race car.
Yeah, that was a surprise. I'm going, what happened to him?
Well, if you looked at the end, he was coming like a freight train.
I know it. I know it.
So, you want to bring it up or you want me to?
Oh, I'm okay. I just want to tell you, the reason I haven't called for 2 weeks, I was up in Maine for a funeral.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So, that's why you didn't hear from me. I haven't kicked off yet or anything, but.
Okay.
And I ended up in Presque Isle for 2 days. Do you know how far up that is?
Presque Isle?
Yeah.
Well, you know, just so you know, when I was growing up, there was a Presque Isle State Park, and that was in Erie, Pennsylvania. So.
No, this is in Maine, you know, the last state on the East Coast, just before Canada.
Yeah, I got the geography. Thank you.
You get very good. I tell a lot of people, they say, what? I thought that was Canada. I said, no, what's the last state in the Union?
Well, I mean, I'm going to ask you again. You want to bring it up or you want me to?
I don't care.
Well, you don't even know what I'm talking about.
Junior, who else?
There we go.
Say.
Okay, well, what do you think my position is?
Oh, well, you and I don't usually agree on Junior, so I mean, why would you change now?
Well, I'll go ahead and tell you what my position is before you ask, and that way, you know, you'll have the luxury of going second.
I saw one clip from yesterday during the race, rather.
Yeah, it's
and
not
there is one that shows that, oops, you idiot.
Now, here's the deal.
Junior.
Now, here's the deal, okay? When it's a restrictor plate race,
anything goes. We already know that.
Well, it's not anything goes. It's just that there's not much opportunity to be. You have to be aggressive. Secondly, Junior's trying to get a lap back. Third, the rain's coming.
Yeah.
Okay, and so everybody knows it's going to be a short race. So
and all the crew chiefs are preparing for that, not bringing them in, not doing this, not doing that.
Hold on, I got to make this short because we're going to try to get another guest on the line.
No, okay,
but the fourth part of this is, if you watch it, Junior laid off of Vickers, was back, and he got a run that there was no way in the world it was going to be stopped. So here's my deal, okay? If you are going to attempt to block, you are increasing your opportunity to be wrecked by 100 times.
Okay. Let me finish.
So I believe that what happened yesterday was a result more about a rule and about the restrictor plate than it was about Junior driving over his head.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Brian Vickers, if he does what he says, which is you got to watch the mirror, then he had to see Junior's run coming.
Yeah.
And he had to know that what he was going to do was risky, you know, at that point. So I say this. I'm not willing to go Junior is without blame, but I am certainly not willing to believe that it all belongs to Junior.
Let me ask.
It's a 50-50.
Let me ask a simple question.
And the two things I remember about blocking.
Okay, go ahead.
I missed the wreck.
Yeah.
Number one.
Let me ask
Hold on, Gene.
My simple question is, was Vickers a lap down?
Yeah.
He was.
Okay.
The junior didn't know that, but it doesn't matter.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's Vickers was trying to protect something, but if you're watching the mirror like he says he is, I mean, Junior was eight car lengths off of him, and he got a run, and he pulled right down in front of him. I mean, he's lucky that wreck didn't happen earlier. Right.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, Gene, we got another guest line, so you go ahead and make a last comment, and we got to go.
Okay. I'm just going to remind you about blocking. Number one, back years ago, I can't remember what year it was, Mr. Rusty Wallace said he could come back on the track ahead of Earnhardt. And he saw Earnhardt, and he had the momentum, and that's when Rusty took those nice flips. Number two, Dale Earnhardt Sr. was killed trying to block for his kid and Michael. That there tells you the danger of blocking. Anything can happen, and it will as long as they run the races the way they've been running them.
Well,
that's my comment.
Take away the yellow line, let them pass on the grass.
You know,
he never hit the grass, but he was
below. You know, here's
line,
what I say.
And he was forced behind.
I think that that yellow line, there's a place where the yellow line doesn't necessarily have to be yellow, and where they did it, where it was flat, is not that it could be open season down there. The yellow line in the corners or in the tri-over where it's a problem, but down where that was, that, you know. Anyway, next we got to go because we got to.
Okay, but I just want to get those two and remember what happens when you block.
Okay.
Okay, talk to you next week.
Have a good night, Gene.
You too, dear.
Bye bye. On the phone with us right now, a young fellow out of Kentucky, Darrell Lanigan, 2008 World of Outlaw champion and also 2009 Dirt Car National Late Model champion. Darrell, welcome to the program, man.
Hey, how you all doing?
How you doing, man?
Oh, not too bad. Just glad to be home.
Glad to be. Well, you had a long trip. You made Golden Isles the first part of the month, correct? And then, or the end of last month, and then you went to East Bay, correct? And then ended up at Volusia?
No, actually, we showed up at Volusia the first race. That was the first race we got there, and
skipped
we started
everything
from there.
Else.
Yeah.
Well, I can't be tired if you skipped everything in front. But I guess
well,
you'd be
tired. Well, there's still a lot of work going up to just going to that.
I guess you'd be tired. You wore them out. I mean, even though you didn't get the victory, but you won the war. You know, you had a great run. And as a matter of fact, I don't even think there was once you was out of the top five.
There was a couple nights there, but we finished like 3 seconds and a third, which was pretty good for down there with a brand new car and brand new package there. We ran pretty good.
You know, we talked about earlier, we had David Rogers on the show with us, who was the asphalt champion at New Smyrna, and we were talking about the week that he had, and I'll be honest with you, I thought the week you had was really great, and when we were figuring up the championship, I actually yelled out, I think Lanigan's the champion. I didn't even keep up with the points just because I saw how good you'd finished throughout the nights, and, you know, I thought it was going to be a close battle between you and Josh there, but I guess he had a couple bad nights too.
Yeah, I don't even know what the points difference was, but I know we were in pretty good every night, and I think Eckert, he had a pretty good week too. So I really didn't even know how close the second guy was.
This, you know, you were coming off a 2008 World of Outlaw Late Model Championship, and you've been with the World of Outlaw since the day one. How's that going for you?
Pretty good. I mean, everything's going great. Starting the year off season, we got a first and I think an eighth there in the World Outlaw shows there, and should be right up there in the front with the points. Should be probably second or third, tied for second, probably third in the points there, and just looking forward to getting the year started.
So this will be something that you'll chase for the whole season for sure?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, you skipped out on the East Bay deal and you didn't go to the Golden Isles. You said you didn't have your stuff ready, but is that a brand new car you were driving this week or last week?
Yeah, actually, it was a brand new car, a little bit different car than we've been running. We actually switched to Chevrolet motors. That was a brand new Chevrolet motor we had in it, and also we switched our shock program over the winter and went to Integra shocks, and everything worked out great. Everything worked excellent for us.
You know, we had a. This was kind of the car count was kind of down, but you still had 70, and you had 70 of the best late model drivers in the country. But, you know, what I was saying earlier, you know, with the one of the first questions I asked you was, I thought for sure you was going to knock down a win there this season, you know, for the Dirt Car Nationals. But, you know, I'm not very good on keeping up with wins, but if you was to knock one down, how many would that be?
For the Outlaws?
No, I'm talking about for the Dirt Car Nationals. Didn't you win one a couple years ago, or?
Yeah, we won a 10 grand race down there. I think last year maybe it was. And that's about it. We really we struggled a little bit there at Volusia. Like I said, we had one $10,000 win last year. And other than that, I think that's all we had.
What? Give me an idea what how the track surface was. I thought the track surface was great every night, except for maybe the first night. It was kind of locked down on the bottom.
Yeah, the first night it rubbered up, and then after that they worked on throughout the night there, and track was excellent there on. Track was a little fast in the heat races, hard to pass, just because it got up around the top there. But other than that, the track was excellent.
Yeah. You know, that's one of the things that a lot of guys were talking about this year, you know, the Dirt Car National. They were talking about the way the track held up, and this was the best they've seen the track in a long time. But, you know, I thought it kind of locked down. I agree with you. I think it was a little fast in the heat races. You know, like the second night, I think the heat races were unbelievable. You know, there was like all six heat races. I think the transfer spot wasn't resolved until the last lap or next to last lap. But,
right.
You know, that made racing good for the spectators. It made it good for you guys, too. But I agree, when a racetrack's too fast, it's hard to pass anybody. But you seem to do okay.
Yeah, I mean, the point there, you just got to start up front. It's hard to start behind them guys and then pass them. But like I said, when the track's that fast, it is also hard to pass. Just they get up around the top, and the top's so much faster than the bottom, it's hard to pass.
You know, you talked about Rick Eckerd driving the new Bloomquist chassis. I think he's gonna be pretty good this year. Name one or two guys you think might be a contender, you know, that to try to take the crown from you in the two in the
Well, I'm sure let's see, he'll be right there this year too. And Josh, I mean, they got their program going good as long as they don't have no bad luck. He should be there too. So I'd say Eckerd, Josh, and then Francis should be three of the contenders.
I don't think they can knock you off the horn there, champ.
But it should be a good year this year for the championship series. Anyways,
I saw you had Fusion on the board again. Would you want to talk about that for a couple minutes?
Yeah, Fusion's back on board this year. I mean, looking forward for them for the whole year there. Just kind of seeing how everything falls out there. Right now, it's not a lockdown deal for the whole year, but just kind of seeing how it goes.
Well, we just wanted to have you on tonight because you were the 2009 Dirt Car National Champion. I want to say congratulations. You had a big run. Joe couldn't make it in tonight. He's a little under the weather. But, man, we've had you on our Wednesday night program, Daryl Lanigan. We want to say thanks for spending a few minutes with us tonight, and congratulations, and we wish you the best of luck this year coming, buddy.
I appreciate it.
Thank you, Daryl.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
It's been a good night of strong guests. You know, and we were talking about some of the, you know, back to the David Rogers, older guy, 53, getting ready to be 54. You know, the other night I'm watching TV, a speed channel, and watching the Chili Bowl, and 53-year-old Sammy Swindell wins out there in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's a surprise. You know, I mean, even he was surprised.
Swindell was at the Volusia Speedway Park for the O'Reilly All-Stars as well as the World of Outlaws. And I want to say one thing. This All-Tail does Driver of the Year where you can, or for the whole Dirt Car Nationals, where you can text in and vote. And a couple things, like young Austin Dillon won one night. And they ask you, what would you do, or what would it mean to you to win the $10,000? And I thought what Austin Dillon said kind of touched hard a little bit. Everybody knows how we feel about Tim McCready and the wreck he had at the Chili Bowl, but Austin Dillon said if they win that $10,000, they're going to give it to Tim McCready to help pay for the medical bills.
Yeah, I hope that Tim McCready gets himself.
He was actually out there this year. He was out walking around. And, you know, I want to say, too, get well to Patrick Shelter. We've had him on the show a couple of times, and I didn't see the lick that he took.
Did.
But I talked to Patrick Thursday. He was at Volusia Speedway Park setting up in his motor coach. He said he couldn't get around very good. He's got a compression fracture in his back. So get well soon, Shelter, and we'll see you soon. He said he should be ready by Salem.
He was that was a hard lick. I mean, you know, he was really in one of those positions. It was like he couldn't quite make up his mind what to do, and he got loose, and he kind of started the wreck. But the part that just blew my mind was the guy that hit him. He had to be at least a quarter lap away from him, and he never even attempted to slow down. I mean, I don't know who wasn't talking to him or what was going on, but, boy, it just didn't have to be that way.
Well, we talked about that blocking deal, but that's one of them deals where you look back, where's the spotter in that situation for Vickers yesterday? And, you know, when it, like I heard you say, congratulations to Matt Kenseth, started 43rd and won the race. I'm glad to see Matt Kenseth win. I was kind of rooting for Elliott Saylor at the time.
Well, we're down to it. We certainly appreciate it. We know we didn't get all of it done, but we'll be back here again next week on Trackside Tonight.
Great show, Randy. Good night, everybody.
You too, Billy. Good night.